Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the new words we have learned the last couple of years is the word resilient. Resilient. How often it's been said, especially about our children, how resilient they are. What with all the changes and challenges of the last couple of years, how well generally children have done, how well they've adjusted. They've been so resilient, people say. Now, of course, that's not always true. No doubt our children have struggled at times, like we all have. And yet we can be thankful when there has been a certain resilience reflected and hopefully in our lives as well. Yes, all of us, are we not called, especially as confessing Christian believers, are we not called to resilience in the faith? And so also in all of life, are we not called to be persevering, never quitting, pressing on, being faithful, steadfast, whatever comes, whatever tribulations may come our way? Resilient faith. Is that not what we are called to? Ever trusting the Lord. And on this point, how much we can learn then from the Word of God, and how much we can learn also from the experience of the people of God, including this evening from the Apostle Paul. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9, as we could read it earlier. What majestic words the Apostle writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, describing his own experience by the grace and power of God. We are hard-pressed on every side, he says, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. What is that? What is that great language of the Apostle Paul? Is it not him given to confess resilience in the faith? Yes, that is what we have here in these words, resilient faith. Paul, strong and steadfast, not in himself ultimately, no, in God and through the work of God, of course. But how instructive these words are, also in their context, and how searching, how encouraging, how much we should ponder these words and learn from them and also come to echo them for ourselves, all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This resilient faith, hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. More colloquially, we might say, down, but not out. Are you down? Have you been down? Was 2021 a down year? Can you highlight maybe tonight many reasons why you are down? No doubt we all can. And yet all true believers may say more. God means for us to say more. All true believers may confess, down, but not out, never out. Isn't that the great message also of the gospel? Isn't that what the Bible gives us to be able to express? Resilient faith. Tonight, let's reflect on that for a short while. I've written my theme down like this, down maybe, down hard even, but not out, never out. Down maybe, down hard even, but not out, never out. That's the theme. And let's work through three different things, 3 points. First of all, hard tests. Hard tests. For the Christian, life is surely marked by hard tests. The Bible teaches that. Paul himself knew that firsthand. Especially this letter to the Corinthians, this second letter. He mentions it many times and even in various details. Over in chapter 11, for instance, he writes about being whipped and beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and alone and in danger and weary and without sleep and hungry and thirsty and cold and not having enough to wear, not enough clothes to keep him warm and blankets. What a life he had to live. And on the one hand, he was an apostle and his work involved sacrifice, that's true, but Ultimately, Paul endured all he endured for the sake of his love and trust in Jesus Christ. In other words, for the same reasons you and me too, we can expect and we do experience many different kinds of tests. Tests come to Christians, all Christians. Tribulations are part of Christian life and experience. And they aren't easy. No, many times they are hard, even very hard. If we just take Paul's words in our text, he writes about being hard pressed on every side. So pressure coming in from every angle, this angle, that angle, this person, that person, enemies here, enemies there. Paul walking through life and all around him, there's this pressure coming in, opposition, detractors, critics, people hating him, people hurting him, hard pressed on every side, every side. This can happen, can't it? Troubles and trials coming more than one and from every direction. Have you ever experienced that? It can be enemies like Paul faced. It can be other pressures too. Just the pressures of life together with spiritual pressures and temptations and distractions and assaults. Maybe at home things aren't so easy, aren't so good. Maybe at work you're having a tough time. Maybe at school or with friends you're going through some challenges. Maybe your health is breaking down. Maybe your own heart is spiritually now not seeming to hold together. Maybe the devil is increasing his efforts. Maybe you understand when Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side. We are squeezed here and there, and it can be so difficult. It's a good phrase, isn't it? Vivid. We understand it. Hard-pressed. And then Paul says, perplexed. Perplexed. That means confused. At a loss. Just not at all understanding. Not knowing what to think. Not knowing what to do. Bewildered. Maybe think of in terms of the providence of God. When you can't sort out what God is doing, what God is up to. When you can't figure out the way things have gone in your life. Why so many disappointments? Why so many closed doors? Why so many missed opportunities? Why so many heartaches? Or maybe more broadly in this world and the church in this world, why are things allowed to go on like they do? So many rebellions, so many people stubborn, foolish, unbelieving, broken, continuing in their own wicked ways, and meanwhile the church hobbling and struggling along, and we wonder, Lord, why? When will you rise up and deliver your people? When will you revive and build your church? Perplexed. And then persecuted. Well, there's of course all sorts of persecution. We might say there's soft persecution and then there's hard persecution. In some cases, when people find out that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they simply turn their backs. They walk away. They avoid you. That's the end of the relationship. That's a sort of soft persecution. A harder form of persecution might be when they find out you're a Christian and they turn on you. They don't just turn their back on you, but they turn on you. They begin to go after you and hunt you and aim to hurt you. This was certainly Paul's experience, wasn't it? How many months and years he spent in prison for the faith. How much he endured for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many have done so since. And maybe you too know something about some form of opposition to you because of your faith. Even if it's only a soft form of it, like we mostly experience in our land, still it's not easy. It can be in its own way a hard test. To go alone. Hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Struck down. In a way, Paul is building with his words here, building the intensity, building the imagery. Struck down is violent. It means to be hit with a weapon, with a stick, a club or a sword, maybe someone's fists, they've gone after you. They've knocked you down. And again, that can happen today. We live in a violent society where people act out all sorts of things. How busy police officers are dealing with domestic disputes, often turning violent and dangerous. That's our world, but also the Christian church, the Christian people, the people of God can know something about this suffering at the hands of angry men, wicked men. How many believers today know it firsthand? Enemies come and knock them down with weapons, take them down. But don't only think of physical violence for the faith. Think too of all the ways that we may be struck down by all the trials and troubles that come. Or think of the efforts of the devil or the vehemence of the world and how these things can come in and tempt us and attack us and overwhelm us. And then put that together with the troubles that may arise in our family life or the effects of the curse, as they can be still so strong and so powerful. Sickness, sorrow, loss, grief, tragedy, calamity. Some of you know about this also this past year. Putting that together with our own ever-present weakness and tendency still to sin, and think of the ongoing chaos and confusion in the world, even to this very moment, and the way it's upending everything, limiting and disorienting. And often we can feel like we have been struck down. And this all serves to confirm the point that hard tests is what we find in life, also when we confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Hard tests coming so often, repeatedly, increasingly, severely, overwhelmingly. Hard pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. And we can feel down. And we can be down. And we can say, who is sufficient to be a Christian, never mind a Christian witness? And who has it in him or her to be faithful, to be a light, to be a blessing, and to persevere? Who is able to stand? Who can be resilient in the face of all these things? Have you not wrestled with that? Felt that? Struggled with that? When our faith gets tested, and the tests are hard, and we are weak, and generations of believers have echoed the apostle when he says, we are hard-pressed on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are struck down. 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 And that's where we can find ourselves too so many times. And maybe this very year you have been there. Maybe tonight you are there. Down. But the question we have to ask is that all there is to say? And what's clear for Paul is no. No, down is real. Down can be very real, but down is not the last word. Not by a long shot. And you know the text, of course. You know how Paul will express the ultimate perspective when he writes about not being crushed and not being in despair and not forsaken and not destroyed. And we'll come to that momentarily, but already now, the fact is, every Christian can say that with Paul for very particular reasons. And here we need to go now to our second point and talk about great truths. So we've got hard tests, but then there are also great truths. And what we find in this chapter, what we find is that Paul highlights a number of great truths individually and all together, and they help the apostle, and they enable all believers even to, because of these truths and through these truths, meet the tests and withstand the tests. And the key is to remember these truths and hold tightly to them, because this is what helps to make the faith resilient. And this is the fuel that enables us to press on. Great truths, well, what are they? Let me give you three tonight from this chapter. Three great truths. One, the first one is this: life for us through Jesus' death. Life for us through Jesus' death. That's one of the truths that Paul holds so close, and what strengthens him so much. And we hear it in verse 10, 11, and 12. Let me quote you again what Paul says there. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, we are always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Well, that's a deep and involved piece of writing. And Paul's main point is to describe how through suffering, his suffering for the sake of the gospel, and his words highlight how intense the suffering was, because he speaks about dying and death. But he's undergoing it so that the Corinthians might hear and believe the gospel. We're dying, Paul's saying, so that you might live. Because they hear the gospel from him and they see the power of it in him, and so they believe it. We're dying, death is working in us, but life is in you. So that's Paul's main point. But of course, for that to be the main point, something else has to be true, something back of that. And that has to do with the gospel message. And the fact that Jesus' death really is the key to any and every sinner living. All who believe in him, because he died, Jesus died, we may live. Because he died and, of course, rose again, we may live and we do live. All who turn to Jesus Christ and trust in him live truly and eternally. And that's what Paul understands. And that's why he's willing to endure whatever may come, so that people might hear that news and believe that news and be saved by it. There really is life in Jesus, through Jesus, because of Jesus, because he died. That's what Paul believes. That's what Paul proclaims. And he's right to do so. For the whole Bible underscores it. What is the message of the whole Bible? It's about how left to ourselves, we are all sinners, dead in our sins and trespasses. Dead and dying and destined to die forever. But God has sent his own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has sent him to us, and he has taken on the burden of our sin and guilt, and he has gone into the horrors of hell and death so as to deliver us from it. All who turn to him and trust in him, what we could never achieve on our own, through Jesus, we may receive it. Life. Life through his death. Life, including pardon for sin, peace with God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of someday living with the Lord. Life. So this is one of the great truths to be so clear about and to hold close, and by which also to meet the many tests that come and so to stand. Because no matter what is happening, if we have life through Jesus, all's well. By the way, that's what the gospel offers all about, isn't it? Life. The Lord Jesus calls us to come to him and live. If you don't come to him, you don't live. When you come to him, you live. When we look to him, whoever believes in him by the power of the Holy Spirit, what happens is you are made alive. You come to life and you live. And you know, tonight again, he calls to all who've not come yet. He calls, come and live. But then a second truth that Paul highlights is this. Even if and when we die, someday we'll rise again. Even if and when we die, someday we'll rise again. Notice here the words of verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. In other words, Paul says, resurrection is coming and we can be sure of it. This life is not all there is and death is not the end. No, we live here for a time, for the Lord and to his glory, and then we die, like so many others. But everyone who believes in the Son of God, the Savior, God will raise up to resurrection life, body and soul forever. Jesus already rose, Paul is saying, and so it's for sure that all his people will rise too. Knowing that he who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus. Now, it's not only believers who rise. Everyone rises. Also the wicked and unbelieving. They too will rise. And the Bible teaches that, makes that plain elsewhere. Everyone rises. And for all unbelievers, all the wicked, it will be so bad, they will rise up to die. They will rise up to be sent to hell, in body and soul to burn in judgment forever. Never should we forget that. or deny that. But for believers, that's Paul's main point now. When the resurrection takes place, all God's people will rise to live. And so these very bodies in which and through which we have lived out our lives, these very bodies will be raised from the dust, from the grave, and they will be resurrection bodies. They will be glorified bodies. They will be bodies without weakness, without corruption, without sin. This mortal will put on immortality, never again to die. Is that not a truth so great and rich and precious? And how important to keep it close, to remember it, to cherish it. Because even when we are hard-pressed and perplexed and persecuted and struck down, and even when in our bodies we can suffer so much, that can happen. Physically, mentally, emotionally, what pains we can endure for all sorts of reasons. We may even die, that is true. Yet there is resurrection coming, resurrection. Didn't Jesus himself say it? I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall never die. Not really, because although he die, he will live. Because when we die, we will rise again. Do you believe that tonight? And do you hold fast to that? Resurrection is coming. And then there's a third truth that Paul highlights that's so great, and that's this. We may live in hope of everlasting glory. We may live in hope of everlasting glory. All true Christians, that's the hope that we may have. We learn this in the last verses of this chapter. When Paul writes, for instance, in verse 17 about how our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, how is that for perspective? Our light affliction. Think of being hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Oh, says Paul, it's really light affliction. Is just for a moment. How can he say that? How is that possible? How is that accurate? Well, it's perspective. It's because Paul goes on to write about the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And what he means is eternal life is coming. Eternal life with God in the glorious presence of God, in all the wonders and beauties and perfection of the new heaven and new earth. And that life will be the very best life. And that life will never end. It will go on and on. And will get richer and more glorious and more wonderful. And if we think of that, Paul is saying, if we keep our eyes on that, our hearts fixed on that, then whatever is here, whatever is happening, all the tests, they're real, they're hard, and we may often be down, but ultimately it's light. It's easy, it's momentary. It's just a blip, a few seconds. It's perspective, because eternity will make up for all of it. When I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, when all the weary night is past and I awake with thee to view the glories that abide, then I shall be satisfied. Satisfied. And we may live in the hope of that everlasting glory. Oh, that's the truth Paul knows, that he clings to and by which he lifts up his own heart. All Christians may live in hope of everlasting glory. We find it in the Word of God, and so we believe it. And through the trials and troubles and with all the tests, the Lord uses all of that to help us focus on that hope. Don't stay looking down here. Look beyond. Look ahead. Look to what's coming. Look in hope. We may live in hope of everlasting glory. Oh, what a great truth, together with the others. Life for sinners through Jesus' death. And even if and when we die, we shall rise again. And now we may live in hope of everlasting glory. These are the truths that made up the fabric of Paul's understanding of spiritual life, of Christian pilgrimage, of persevering, of resilience in the faith. And these are the truths which sustained him and to which he returned again and again, and which he also used to encourage others. To draw strength from, yes, so that we too can echo the apostle when he speaks not only about hard tests and reminds us of great truths, but lastly comforts us with sure triumph. That's our last point, sure triumph. And isn't that what Paul does ultimately in this passage? And in our text especially when he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. So if you remember the sermon theme, down, maybe, down hard even, but not out, never out. That's what Paul is saying. Maybe the experience and the testimony of every Christian, sure triumph. Not crushed, not in despair, not forsaken, not destroyed. That's Christian conviction, Christian confidence. So much so that Paul, at the start of this chapter and at the end of this chapter, says something. He says it twice, once at the beginning, once at the end. You know what that is? We do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. That's resilience, isn't it? That's pressing on through everything without losing heart. And we never need to lose heart. In view of life through Jesus' death and the coming resurrection and the hope of everlasting glory, no matter what may come, no matter what may be the dangers and toils and snares, and we may be hard-pressed, and we may be perplexed, and we may be persecuted, and we may be struck down, and yet we may know we will not be crushed. We will not need to despair. We will not be forsaken. We will not be destroyed. Down, but not out, never out. Instead, surely triumphing, making it to the end, arriving safely in heaven, and then living forever with God. Is that your confidence tonight, congregation, and your comfort? Well, maybe you say, yet how can we know this? How can we be sure of this? Can we be? And in answer to that, think yet once more to the point about Jesus dying. Paul writes about the dying of the Lord Jesus and the death of the Lord Jesus. Think back to that for a moment again, as reflected here and as happening in history. What was that? What was that all about? Jesus dying, the Son of God in the flesh, suffering and dying. And reflecting on that, as told to us in the Word of God, and thinking of the experience of the Savior, isn't it fair and right to say that his experience was so different from Paul's and so different from ours? Because Jesus was hard-pressed on every side and crushed. Isn't that the truth? It pleased the Lord, in Isaiah 55, it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him or to crush him. He was hard-pressed and crushed. He was perplexed even to despair. Why have you forsaken me? He was persecuted and forsaken. He was struck down and destroyed. Isn't that what we confess? He was crucified. He was cursed. He was killed. He died, the Son of God. And let us understand that his experience was unique because what he was doing was suffering and dying, what sinners like you and me deserve, to suffer and die forever in hell. That's what Jesus came to experience and to endure, and so he did. We confess it every Sunday. He descended into hell. And it is because of that, and it is because of him, that his word of promise now is that all who turn to him and trust in him, no matter the test, no matter how hard they may be, no matter how hard-pressed we may be, we will never be crushed. No matter how perplexed we may be, we need never despair. No matter how intensely we may be persecuted, we won't ever be forsaken. And no matter how many times we may be struck down, we will not be destroyed. It is impossible. For what we deserve, he has taken and put away. And so all who look in faith to him may know they will surely triumph. Is this a word in season for anyone tonight? Maybe all of us need it. How easy it is to be down, to feel down, to be knocked down. How easy it is to be overwhelmed by the tests. That's true. Paul would understand it. He was there many, many times. But what he learned, what he was taught, he's now passing on to us. Look beyond the tests. Look to the great truths that remain steadfast and sure. The truths of the gospel, the truths of resurrection, everlasting life, truths that have been bought by the blood of the Son of God. Look to the riches that have been purchased by him, and let us keep those realities close. And let us learn to highlight with the apostle and all God's true people, not only the suffering, but also the glory. Not only the tests, but also the triumph. Tonight we may be hard-pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we are not in despair. We have no reason to be. We may be persecuted. We are not forsaken. Never. We may be struck down, but not destroyed. Down maybe. Down hard even, but not out. Never out. Oh, that may be the life and witness of every Christian, every believer, everyone. If you're not one, become one. Tonight, this moment, ask the Lord Jesus to hear you, to save you, and believe you, and to believe in him. And us who do, by his grace, let us go forward now into a new year in faith, resilient. Coming back to that word, resilient. Trusting the Lord to lead us and guide us and guard us and keep us. He will do that and more. And so whatever may come, knocked down, hard even, still we will never be out, never out, never out. And someday, all the way up and fully alive and then in glory forever and ever and evermore. Amen.